Okay, well, today we're on to day 23 of our study through the book of Galatians, and I've titled this lesson, Envy, Drunkenness, Orgies. We're going to focus in on Galatians chapter 5, verse 21 today, but I want to skip backwards a little bit and just read this whole passage in context, just so we remember again what we're really looking at here. So we're going to start in verse 19 and read through 21. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so again, we're looking at those obvious works of the flesh. And today we're going to look at envy to start with. Now, there is a distinction between jealousy and envy. The root word for jealousy, remember, comes from the word for zeal. The root word for envy comes from the word phthonos, which is a completely different word. Jealousy is, as you'll recall, hostility toward a rival or one believed to have an advantage. Envy, on the same hand, is painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another with the desire to have the same advantage. In other words, when you're jealous, you're upset because someone has something that you don't have. When you're envious, you're upset that they don't have something you don't have, and you want to have what they have. You want to be in the advantage spot. You want to take what they have and be superior to them because of it. It also is being angry and upset when other people receive blessings. That attitude of, why do they get that, God? What about me? Or, I deserve that so much more than they do. I've been faithful and they haven't. Instead of rejoicing with others when they're blessed. I've known people who coveted a volunteer position, not paid, a volunteer position so highly that when they weren't asked to be in that position, but were asked to fulfill another position within that organization, they refused the secondary role and quit the organization. Who do you think they were trying to bring glory to? Themselves or God? Drunkenness. Now, I know that some people equate alcohol with sin, period. However, I don't believe that's biblical, especially as we see on numerous occasions that Jesus did drink alcohol. This isn't a case of, well, in Bible times, water wasn't purified like we have the ability to purify it today, so if Jesus had had the opportunity to purify water, he would have only drunk water, not alcohol. I don't think that that's accurate. The truth is, we humans can pervert anything good and make it bad. Think about it. Consider the ways that we have perverted sexual intimacy. Or food. Again, consider how we have turned food into something to be worshipped to the point where we eat ourselves to death, literally. Alcohol is, I think, one of those things, too. Like anything else, it can most definitely be abused. We know that it was abused in Jesus' time, too, simply because the Bible tells us that. Paul is telling the Galatians here that one of the signs of the sinful nature, one of the signs of our flesh seeking its own satisfaction, is drunkenness. Now, most people who abuse alcohol fall into one of three camps, and I'm generalizing here, so if you think of somebody who doesn't fall into that camp, don't write me letters. But one camp would be they're trying to numb themselves to whatever pain is going on in their lives. Or two, they might be trying to have a good time living for satisfaction of their sensual nature. Or three, to go along with the crowd and gain the approval of other people. When you're drunk, you might slur your speech, have loss of muscle coordination, vomit, and as if that wasn't enough, your ability to reason and your good judgment are so impaired that you can't function reasonably. Too much alcohol can also lead to blackouts, where you can't recall what occurred while you were drinking, and it can lead to coma and death. So if we are to be thinking about others, showing love for our brothers and sisters, being careful to make sure we are listening to God and trying to follow His will, how can we do that when our judgment is impaired to the point of amnesia? We can't. It's as simple as that. One final note on alcohol, ladies. Please always remember that we can turn anything into an idol. We can abuse anything and make it something bad. Our capacity for evil is simply amazing. So if you feel that alcohol is something to avoid so that you aren't even tempted to go down that path, that's fine. I'm not saying that anyone who does not drink is sinning. I'm also not saying that if you have a beer, you're sinning. Drinking to excess, drunkenness is sinning. That much I can tell you. Drinking to get drunk is sin, period. Okay, then on to orgies. Now, when I first read this, my first thought was, and usually is, this has something to do with sex. And while that's true to a degree, it's also false. An orgy is actually any excessive indulgence in anything, especially when it is an indulgence with the intent of satisfying a craving or appetite. So besides a sexual orgy, we humans have the ability to have an orgy about just about anything. Food? Yep. You could eat yourself into a frenzy. Alcohol? Yep, we've already talked about that. How about destruction? There are people who have an insatiable urge to destroy everything, and I'm not talking about toddlers here. What about those people who we have termed thrill seekers? Those people who are always looking for the next dangerous thing that is one step further, one step more dangerous, to satisfy that need for that surge of adrenaline. When you think orgy, think excess, think frenzy. In the New Testament, an orgy was a lewd or immoral feasting. This was not a private solo activity, so this would include more than one person, with each person encouraging the others in their immorality to satisfy whatever craving they all shared. Now, over the past few days, we've covered about 15 specific things that are signs of the sinful nature. Paul tells us that if you are defined by these things, your faith and hope is not in Christ, it's in something else. So because your faith is not in Christ, you won't inherit eternal life with him. However, remember that none of these is unforgivable if you truly repent, agree with God that what you have done is sin, stop doing them and turn away and go away from them. And if you ask for forgiveness and seek to let him change your heart. My question today is this. Have you seen yourself in any of these 15? Again, just a quick recap of this list. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. Really consider these today, ladies. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all have evidence of at least some of these in our lives. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with having that sin in your life? Or do you hate that sin and desire for God to continue to sanctify you? Really think about it. Don't be content to entertain these sins. Ask God to remove them from your heart today. Tomorrow, we'll look at the start of the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll contrast those with this list, but for today, repent and confess your sin to him and ask his forgiveness. Remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 23, envy, drunkenness, orgies.